I like that song.
Dennis, I like that narration. We have so much talent in this church, it just amazes me. Did y'all even allow me to preach? But I'll keep the job anyway. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians. Excuse me, we're in the book of 2 Corinthians. Go with me to the 11th chapter. Paul is addressing the great congregation in Corinth, great possibly because it's such a large area and involves so many people, and great secondly because it has so much opportunity. Part of it was unfulfilled opportunity, though. And he's trying to straighten out his brothers and sisters by giving them information to correct some false information they have been given by others. We read here in 2 Corinthians 11:1, I hope you will put up with me in a little foolishness. Yes, please put up with me. I am jealous for you, with a godly jealous. I promise you to one husband to Christ so that I may present to you a pure virgin in him, to him. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds have somehow been led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. God, let it never happen. No matter how long we live and no matter where we are nor who we are around, but we allow ourselves to be fooled by our lies and deceit. As time comes closer for your son to come back to get us, Satan the adversary will work even harder. He will lie bigger, longer, and better to try to take souls away from you, Jesus. Please don't allow this to happen. Give us strength and courage. Let us fight the good fight because we know the truth in the gospel. For those that are sick or ill today, for those with distresses and problems, give them your blessing. May your will be done. For those men and women who serve us around the world in the mission fields and in the military and the other services, bless them and their family that allow them and support them as they go. As we strive to serve you here at this congregation, in this area, may we be ever vigilant to show our love to others. Now be with the speaker, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. There has been a war going on in Fort Myers for over the last year, year and a half. Now, I'll not mention any names because it makes no difference. But there was a up-and-coming, very promising, very loud, a lot of advertisements. Air conditioning company, it is hot. And I know my wife said, do not touch the thermostat, but it's 97 degrees in here or something. I'm going to take it down 1 degree. Please forgive me, Rebecca. Well, it was sitting on 80. It's supposed to be 76. I went to 75. And this company argued and argued and argued on the radio advertisements with another company on who was the best and who did this and who served that, et cetera, et cetera. Until one day, the sheriffs and the police department and the television cameras, of course, showed up and invaded that guy's business and took all his records. And now his bragging didn't do any good. Sometimes we hear things that aren't true. Boy, they sound good. You get an eloquent speaker who rolls his R's and speaks maybe with a little bit of a British accent, which I've been threatening never to try to speak in a British accent. So I speak with no accent whatsoever. You all know that. And we're easily fooled. You know, you put enough chocolate on anything. Seventh grade I was. Now that tells you that it was about 1963 or 64. There was a fad. Chocolate-covered ants. Chocolate-covered grasshoppers. Chocolate-covered... Some of y'all remember that? Yeah. Here, Dwight, you want one of these? I sure do. You let the birds eat an ant or a grasshopper. I wouldn't even lick the chocolate off. I don't care what you put on it. It's still a bug. Well, a lot of times that's what the devil's doing. He's giving us bugs with chocolate on it and telling us it's the gospel. He sent people to follow Paul there in Corinth and then go back before he left again to bring in lies. That's all it was. A lot of them were hardline Jews who believed that the gospel of Jesus Christ was falsehood and condemned everything that Paul said. A lot of it was ne'er-do-wells who said, well, you can be a Christian, but you got to be a Jew first, and you have to follow all the Jewish traditions and the rules first. A lot of them would just change absolutely totally different of what was going on in the gospel because it was easier to... Mary Poppins is coming back. Did you all hear that? My goodness, Mary Poppins. You remember her song, "Just a Spoonful of Sugar Makes the Medicine Go Down"? Well, they tried to chocolate cover, sugar include, whatever you want to call it, the gospel, so it would be easier and a lot more acceptable. But it's not true. They didn't want to talk about death of a Savior. They didn't want to talk about sacrificing for others. They wanted to talk about how smart and how great they were. Paul says, I'll be a little foolish. I'll say things that, truthfully, you think makes me a dummy. Now, Paul himself was one of the highest educated men of his time, set under one of the top teachers that had ever been in the Jewish nation. Paul was not a dummy. But his whole theory was to present Jesus to those who were lost. And whatever it takes. I was afraid, just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds will somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Now, if you're above the age of 60, you remember Jonestown that had been, I think, in Indiana. It wasn't Indiana. Y'all have done a lot of good things. That wasn't one of the better ones. But Jonestown, where he took a bunch of people to Guyana and lied to them and gave all kind of sing-song about Jesus this and Jesus that, and it was all lies. Because it wasn't about Jesus. He used their name, Jim Jones did, but it wasn't about his love and grace until he talked hundreds and hundreds and hundreds into drinking that purple Kool-Aid and committing suicide. That's not the first time false Jesuses have come along. That's not the first time false prophets come along, and it will continue in our time. Waco, Texas. Remember Waco, Texas? David Koresh and his group. The Hellbot Comet group out in California. Those things continue to go on. And now, in our own Congress, we have people speaking for the destruction of the Jewish nation. Now, folks, if I read Genesis right, we are promised that those who respect and help Abraham's descendants, God will bless. And those who curse Abraham and his descendants, God will curse. Don't let it go with this political mamby-pamby, make you feel good, let's do this, that, and the other. Go back to God's Word. That's all Paul asked for. If someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we have preached, meaning those who were traveling with him, Timothy and Titus and the like, it's other than we have preached. Or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received or a different gospel than you want to accept it, you put up with it easy enough. You know, sometimes it's easy to follow a weak leader who sounds good. I'm going to love the next 20-some months. We haven't even hit the election year yet, and we've already got a whole slew of people going to run against this one and that one and support somebody else and wear hats. It's just better than soap operas because it's real. These people are just going to fill us up, and you know what? Listen twice before you act once. Let's be wise. That's what Paul is saying. Do not think that I am in the least inferior to those super apostles. Now, we've heard of Superman. We've got another Marvel and a Captain somebody. Who's coming? Captain America. Who? Captain Marvel and the lady and the Amazon. We've got all kind of superheroes. There ain't but one superhero. His name is Jesus. And no matter how excited we get about flying through the air and throwing golden lassos and I don't know what all, trust me, the only one that counts is Jesus. Yeah, these things are entertainment. I all like entertainment. But still, who's going to get you to heaven with him? It ain't no guy with a cape. Trust me. It's a guy with a cross. That's how we're going to get to heaven. Following him and him alone. And Paul wanted to teach that. Oh, I'm not as good as the super apostles. See, there was a group that traveled around. And this would be going on for years. They called themselves the Messiah. They called themselves apostles. He used the term super apostle. He's making fun of them. Because they weren't teaching the right message. We're in the year 2019. And we're still hearing about super leaders and super teachers, smarter than you and smarter than that. And all you gotta do is follow them. All you gotta do is follow Jesus. That's where it goes. And that's where we find it. I may indeed be untrained as a speaker. Well, Paul was not a professional speaker, he was a teacher. And there's a big difference. Anybody can be eloquent. I told you all the story about the professor and the oil driller and the chauffeur. You can sit and listen and learn. And you can do the Dale Carnegie and all those type of things. And you can be a great speaker. But what is the message that you need to hear? They stood for hours and hours. As Adolf Hitler talked about Mein Kampf and all his plans for the German nation. They stood for hours and hours. I've heard as long as 6 hours and heard Fidel Castro preach about the great things that he had planned on doing and how he was blessed. The problem was they were all false. They were lies. And though they sounded good, they got nobody to any good positions. Paul said, I'm not a professional speaker. I may be untrained, but I do have knowledge. That's the answer. Doesn't matter how good it sounds. Doesn't matter if you got a short, fat guy up front that talks with an accent. I don't know who he is, but it doesn't matter. It matters is what are the words? Where are the sources? And what is the results? That's what Paul is saying. He was the best we can gather, a little short, blind guy, almost blind, that didn't get around too well. Wasn't much to look at, but yet he had the Word of God in him. We have this perfectly clear to you in every way. We've made it clear. Was it a sin for me to lower myself in order to elevate you by preaching the gospel of Christ free of charge? See, the professional travelers, they went around town claiming, you got to pay us. We've got the secrets and you've got to earn it. Kind of reminds me, if you're a sports fan, of when you go somewhere and they sign a baseball card for you or a basketball or a golf ball. Can you sign a golf ball? It'd be a little bitty pin. And then they thought they were worth so much just to show up. I feel sorry for a guy I read in the news yesterday. He missed signing. He didn't take an offer that was given to him like 5 or 6 years ago. And he lost $30 million. He only made 500 instead of 530. What? We get all excited about the numbers. What about the meaning? Folks, Paul said, I go around. I preach free of church. If I robbed other churches by receiving support for them, so to serve you, I didn't charge you anything. Paul said, when I came to Corinth, I let Macedonia and those churches pay for me. Because the message to you, I don't want you to think I was in competition with the guys who are overcharging, because what they sold to you was nothing but lies and garbage. So I did that, and somebody else paid your way. And when I was with you and needed something, I was not a burden to anybody. People brought it to me from other churches. I didn't want to put a strain on you, Paul said. I've kept myself from being a burden to you in any way and will continue to do so as surely as the truth in Christ is in me, Paul said. Nobody in the regions of Archaea will stop this boasting of mine. Why? Because I do not love you. No, God knows I love you. It's okay to be confident when you know you're right. And Paul says, I know I'm right. And therefore I will be confident in what I teach. And all the more so should you learn when somebody's right. Saw an infomercial today. Don't we love them? About 3 o'clock in the morning, I almost got up and went to the other room and got my cell phone and started dialing. Because they now make a hat. They now make a hat that if I wear 3 hours a day, it'll grow my hair back. It's getting thin. Wouldn't that be ornery? The old shaggy looking hair hanging out. Only 3 hours. And the guarantee lasts for 11 months, but it takes 12 months for the hair to grow back. I mean, people will tell you that kind of stuff. If any of y'all get one, let me know if it works. Matter of fact, if any of y'all get one, I'll know if it works. I will keep doing what I'm doing in order to cut the ground from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us. Paul says, I have no equals among these people. They are liars and vagabonds, and they desire to destroy the church. Isn't that being judgmental? I mean, don't we hear from the Bible not to judge someone? Yeah, that's not what it says at all, does it? Judge not, lest not ye be judged. We say, there we go. Now, I had a preacher friend said, I'm not the judge, I'm the court reporter. But the Bible goes on, by the same measure in which you judge, so shall you be judged. In other words, if you're to the law and to the letter and go by that and require that of others, God will require that of you. Well, isn't that the way it should be? That we don't expect more from others than we expect from ourselves. Jesus didn't. I love that song. Take my cross and follow me. That's not a request. That's an obligation for us. Paul says, I repeat, let no one take me for a fool. But if you do, then tolerate me just as you would a fool, so that I may do a little boasting. I'm going to tell you about the good things, Paul said. But just because I do and because of the way I act, don't shut down the gospel. In this self-confident boasting, I'm not talking to the Lord, but as a fool. Since many are boasting in the way the world does, I too will boast. Is it wrong to do something good and be happy about it? Is it wrong to share with others and be glad for that? Is it wrong to know the truth of life and life everlasting and want to share it with others? Oh, well, you just think you're superior, Dwight, because you claim that your Jesus is better than mine. Not at all. And don't let somebody put you down that way. What you claim is what the book says. For if we go by the book, teach the book, read the book, live the book, then we are blessed by God and should not be ashamed. Somebody want to congratulate y'all? Shucks, ma'am, it was nothing. We often feel that way because your mom and daddy tell you to be humble. But when you're right, then do it. And as Christians, we may sin, but when we follow Jesus, we are right. And should not be ashamed in doing so. You go to church? Oh, well, yeah. I don't know how to explain it. I don't want to make you feel bad about what you do on Sundays. No. You say, I go and visit my Lord's house as often as I can to eat a meal with Him and to share with others who are like me, my brothers and sisters. I do that as often as I can because I feel good when I do it and I feel like I'm being a part of the kingdom. Never be ashamed for doing the right thing. Paul wasn't. He boasted about it. Now, I got to tell you a story. Honest to goodness, true story. No butter on the biscuit or nothing. Was with a guy a couple weeks ago. A preacher. Was with a preacher a couple weeks ago. And the guys were telling about him. Some of them had gotten an email from him of a picture he had taken. Some of you I told about this recently. This guy had gone out and bought him a full, reverent, whatever that means, regalia. He had the robe. He had the purple robe. He had the white sash. He had a cross from here to there hanging around him. He had a papal hat. He had everything. No. Well, yeah, he calls himself the first church of the American Catholics. He invented his own religion. Got incorporated with one member, him. Goes and puts that outfit on, has a picture made, has it mounted over his mantle, then goes and puts the outfit on, and has a picture made of him pointing to him on the wall of that same picture. I'm thinking, as my grandmother said, enough is enough and too much is nasty. I think he crossed the nasty line. I don't think that's what Paul's talking about, of being boastful. He should have talked about Jesus, and that should have been the picture up on his wall. Not lifting ourselves up, but lifting up God and following the pathway Christ left before us. Whenever anyone dares to boast about it, I'm speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast about that too, of being a Christian, Paul says. They are Hebrews, so am I. They are Israelites, so am I. Talking about the Judaizers that went around. Are they Abraham's descendants? Well, so am I. Are they servants of Jesus? You must think I'm out of my mind to talk like this, Paul said. He's going through the credentials. I am more than they are, for I have worked much harder. I've been imprisoned more equally, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death time and time again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 slashes minus one. That's 39 slashes. You give them 40 and you're wrong, you take the punishment too. So they always stop at 39. 5 times I received 40 slashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Remember about 20 years ago when President Clinton was here, they got a guy chewing gum or making graffiti or something over in the Philippines. They beat him with cane rods, the best I can understand. About killed him. 5 times beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in an open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, from bandits, from my fellow Jews, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the country, danger at the sea, danger from false believers. If you were on a church pulpit committee and got that as a resume, would you read it twice? This guy's bad news. Wherever he goes, something's wrong. We don't want him. Wouldn't we have thought that? He goes on. I have labored and I have toiled. I've often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure from my concern for all the churches. Can you imagine that? All those things that have near cost him death. And what's he worried about? The churches that he loved. The churches that Jesus, his Savior, died for and was resurrected because of. Now that's getting your priorities right, isn't it? Who is weak? And do I not feel weak? Who is led into sin, and I do not inwardly burn, Paul says. What he's trying to tell us is, I put it the way of an old, probably Newt Rockney, but I don't know for sure. When the going gets tough, anybody in here not had a tough life from time to time? Anybody not here just said, why am I continuing to do this? He may not hear, so why don't I just give up and give in and not worry about it anymore? Paul didn't. And I doubt if any of you all, any of us including me, have been through what he went through. And he was glad to do it. He goes on in the verse 30. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that shows my weakness. Why? Why do we want to show our weakness? Because it means that Christ gives us the strength. It's okay to be humble. It's okay to be fearful. It's okay to tremble a little bit. The deal is, I love this one. Have you seen the thing on the front of a car that says, God is my co-pilot? Have you seen the new one? If God is your co-pilot, change seats. Let him be the leader. That's what Paul knew to do. That's what we need to do. I must show my weakness to the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will be praised forever, knows that I'm not lying. And if God knows the truth, what difference does it make? Oh, I love politics. All this stuff coming out of the swamp. Mr. Mueller knows this and knows that. Some other committee knows this and knows that. Who's going to tell the truth? I don't think we'll ever know all the truth. But when I get to heaven, I'm not going to ask them about that. I'm going to say, who killed John Kennedy? That's the one thing. Maybe it won't be important then, but today that's on the top of my mind since 1963 with Rush to Judgment. At least I think it'll be important. God the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, be praised forever. In Damascus, the governor under King Artachus, who is the father-in-law of Herod the Great, had the city of Damascus guarded in order to arrest me. But I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through their hands. Paul saying God took care of him. Now it's been near 2,000 years. Generations upon generations. Fairs and countries and governors and leaders. Births and deaths of churches. But let me tell you something I firmly believe. God does not change. And I think those words that he spoke in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That hasn't changed. Nor do I believe Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost when he said, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That has not changed either. The people have changed. The buildings are much better. We're not meeting in a cave or in a wilderness, afraid that the government's going to break in yet and arrest us all. But if that happens, it happens. God loved you first. Now it's our turn to love him back. Challenge you this week. Think about God in some of your actions. Think about the needs that people have, what you can do to cheer somebody up or help them out a little bit, to pray for the sick, for the needy, to be involved in what is right. I believe you'll come back next Sunday a little bit happier that way. Our hymn of invitation decision, Jeffrey? Or Carolyn?
514.
514. Well, stand with me if you sing hymn number 514. I knew it was one of you.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.